Amen. I don't know about anybody else, but mine was a tricky one this morning. I was fiddling around with that, and trying to get to the juice underneath. I was just reflecting again on Pat's word for us as she's going for a wander, but I was just reflecting on something about that being able to recognise a voice and that ability to say, oh well, that's that bird, and it makes you more aware of all of the different voices, doesn't it? Sorry, Pat. I'm revisiting your word for us. No, it's okay. I was just saying the awareness of those different bird songs is something that reminds me of being able to recognise God's voice, and when Jesus says, "My sheep hear my voice." So it was a good thing to reflect on. I think that a few notices. Firstly, I would like to point you in the direction, with a health and safety note, but point you in the direction of some new rose bushes that have been planted at the front. So Joe's been working super hard planting some new rose trees for us down in the border as you drive up the driveway. So if you're driving up, then look to your right. If you're on foot, then go down the steps, not on the driveway. And just take a look down to your right as you're walking down the steps. Some lovely rose trees there. And again, I was just reflecting on that and thinking, yeah, it's a time of planting, and there's going to be a season where we see the beautiful roses, and they're there for us all to enjoy. So thank you very much for your hard work on that, Joe. It's incredible. Just some notices about our month of prayer. So importantly, actually, just to highlight that this week we're going to be praying into Bible Focus. If you look in the booklet, you'll see that week three is actually noted as worship, but those have been spun around. So I just want to make you aware so that we don't confuse God by doing things in a different order to each other. So if you can make sure your prayers are focused around this week's topic. Of course, if you would like to pray into worship as well, that would be absolutely fine. A couple of things on how to get involved, and there's some booklets at the back on the table. So if you'd like to pick up a guide, we suggested the idea of potentially getting together in twos and threes. If there's people that you that you'd like to pray with, just arrange that yourselves. And there's still a couple of the sessions left, the Wednesday night sessions, that'll be on the next slide, where we meet together. And we're just offering the opportunity for anyone that would like to host one of those sessions. And doesn't have to be anything spectacular. It doesn't have to be something where you spend the whole evening talking or anything like that. The idea is just to lead people into prayer. So just to offer that opportunity. If anyone would like to get involved, then come and see us. So things that we're doing, I mentioned at the start, we've got morning Zoom prayer from 8 until 8:30. The link for that comes out on email and will be sent around this afternoon / this evening. So do look out for that. If you're not on the mailing list, then just ask one of us. We'll add you to it. Whole church prayer on Wednesday evening, 7:30 till 8:30, and then Friday. Again, there's a link on the email that comes around. We will be praying from 8 o'clock in the morning till 8 o'clock in the evening. And there's opportunity to sign up to slots to pray for one of those hours during the day. And again, just repeating what we said last week, if you feel like, oh, that's really daunting, I couldn't possibly sign up for like praying for an entire hour, I don't really know how I would do that, then don't feel burdened by that, please do sign up and pray for however long in that hour you feel like you can do. And then the other thing to mention, it's a date for your diary in a couple of weeks' time. So I think we gave you a save the date for this. There is going to be a whole church away day on the 17th of May. So we're going to meet at 9:30. We'll be starting at 10 o'clock. So we'll meet together, grab a brew first, and have a little bit of a kind of meet and greet, time to talk together, and then we'll be starting promptly at 10 o'clock, and we'll run through until 4 in the afternoon. It's an opportunity to seek God together. It's an opportunity to explore what He's got for our future, we'd love it if everybody would come to that, because this is something that we want to pursue God together as a group, and then step into those things that He reveals to us. There will be lunch provided. Please do sign up. There's a sign-up sheet on the table at the back. I'm saying that out loud like I remember doing it. I'm sure I put it there. It is there, yeah. Just had a moment. Did I really put it there? It is there. So do sign up on the sign-up sheet at the back. That would really help us just for catering purposes. I think that is everything by way of notices, other than to say Dave is going to be talking to us on our theme of Bible focus, which is our prayer focus for this week, and then next week Emmanuel is going to be talking to us about worship. So I shall hand over to Dave. Welcome. Let me pray for you as you walk up. Lord Jesus, we thank you for this man of God. We thank you for Dave's insight, for his heart, for the way that he seeks you and is able to guide others in their pursuit of you. Thank you, Lord, that you've put him in place for us in this time, and thank you for his ministry. We ask you that you would speak to us through him now, and Lord, fill him as he speaks. We pray that you would be filling him with your Holy Spirit, that he might be refreshed and renewed, even by your words spoken to him this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.
Good morning, everyone. Hey, it's good to see you all on this bright sunny day. In a few minutes, we'll be reading from 2 Timothy chapter 3, starting at verse 10. 2 Timothy chapter 3, starting at verse 10. But I want to encourage you, if you can come to the away day that's at home, it's like an away match but played at home. If it's sports, you'll understand that one. If you can come to that, I'm going to be helping leading the day. We're going to really think through, we're going to look at some of what we've learned about the history of Mount Chapel and reflect on that, some of the key things God's shown us from that, and then actually come before God and say, what has God got for us looking forward? We've got some different ways of doing that that are going to help us actually come up with a vision for moving forward as Mount Chapel, to see what God is going to do. You know, God is for us. I love that, don't you? That God's for us. That God with us. You know what he said? I'll never leave you. I'll say that again. You'll say it slightly louder. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. Isn't that amazing? Sometimes we can feel forsaken. We feel other people have forsaken. We feel other things have gone on and we're left. But God don't forsake us. God's got a plan to build, to develop, to grow, and to bless. That's what God's for. God's for us. So we're gonna do that. But today we're going to be looking at Bible focus. And Bible focus is one of the five things that came up through reflecting on the history of Mount Chapel and ways God has put a special calling on Mount Chapel. Every church has very similar callings, but some are slightly have a different emphasis on different things, different local churches. And Mount Chapel really had a strong emphasis on worship over the years. From the breaking of bread service, when I think when I first came to Mount Chapel, it was an hour in the morning when we had a breaking of bread service, and it was a focus on the worship and drawing close to God. And then we've got the Holy Spirit, experiencing the Holy Spirit, and these over the years at Mount Chapel, that sense of God can draw close to us, and God will move us on by His Spirit. He'll speak to us, He'll reveal truth to us by His Holy Spirit. And then Bible focus. You've had some great preachers over the years, haven't you? If you've been here a few years, just think back all the different great, all the blessings you've had from great people, just opening up the Bible and just showing you things in the Bible. And we're going to come on to that in a minute. So the Bible focus, Mount Chapel's always had a good focus on the Bible. And then family. Family's always been important at Mount Chapel. Every age has always been important. I remember many different times when our Elizabeth was in the kids church, and all the different things Anne County used to help out in the kids church, and even the Maltines, and right the way through to all the different ages, right the way up to when John and Joy organised the different trips, weekends at Beth Eden, and things like that. And lots of things over the years, and family's important, isn't it? You know, we're in God's family. I'm a son of the King. I say that humbly, but I say that with pride. I'm a son of the King. We're in family. You're my brothers and sisters. And in Christ Jesus, we're each other's brothers and sisters. So family is important. And then mission. What was one of the last things Jesus told them to do? Is go and tell people. Go and share the good news of Jesus. Hey, that's good news, isn't it? You know, sometimes there's not a lot of good news on the... Do you ever watch news on the telly thinking, when is the good news coming on the news? It's like one-sided bad news. But it's good news. The gospel literally means good news. Good news. And that's what... There again. But when you look at those five things that came out, the worship, experience, Holy Spirit, Bible focus, family, and mission, they all fit into the two greatest commandments. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. When we worship, we're loving God. We're putting Him in His rightful place. When we're experiencing the Holy Spirit moving in our lives, we're drawing close to God and we're loving God. And everything about us is loving God. When we read the Bible and we come focused on the Bible, when we learn from His Word, and it's His Word, we focus on God. Then family and mission, we love in our neighbour as we love ourselves. I'm glad that somebody told me about Jesus. Now, I was very fortunate. I think I was about 6 days old when I stuck to church for the first time. You know, I was very fortunate. But I don't take it for granted. I'm pleased somebody told me about Jesus. I'm pleased. I was born in a town called Staverbridge. We moved to Salford when I was five. And there was my mum was quite poorly after we were born for a number of years. And we had two ladies in the church, one called Auntie Irene and one called Auntie Nellie. You know, in those days, all the older ladies were aunties and the fellows were uncles. Everyone was a relative of yours. And Auntie Nellie and Auntie Irene, they looked after us. They did Sunday school and the little mission hall in Staverbridge, and they taught us about Jesus along with our mum and dad. I'm really thankful for them. They're in glory, and I've been in glory for many years, but I'm really thankful for them when you look back and you remember that. You see, that sense of family, that sense of mission, that sense of having the Word, we'll come back to this in one second, that sense of experiencing the move of God in your life and the Holy Spirit drawing you closer to God and revealing the truths of God to you more and more. And that real sense of just being able to adore God in worship. Wow. You know, the amazing thing is, He desires our worship. He's a holy God. And He desires your worship. He wants to hear your worship. Your worship is important to Him. You know, so today we're going to be looking at the Bible. We're going to look at the Bible focused. And just just a minute. Aren't you glad you've got a Bible? And I'll say this lightly. In my job, we work with the Bible Society, we work with lots of other different organisations, and some of the organisations are having to smuggle Bibles in into other countries where you're not allowed to have a Bible. We're very fortunate. We've got free access. Now, your Bible might be in book form like mine. Your Bible might be on your phone. Your Bible might be on your iPad or your computer. You know, but don't just see it as another app on your phone or another book on your bookshelf. It's something special. It's God's word and God's letter, as it were, to you. To feed you, to build you up, to encourage you, to excite you, to bless you, to do so many, he does so many things for us, guide us. You know, to me, throughout the Bible, when I was growing, I just love Bible stories. I don't know, I'm going to ask you a couple of questions in a minute, so I'll get ready for the questions. Starter for 10. I love Bible stories. I love, for obvious reasons, the story of King David. If you know my second name, it's a very obvious reason why I love it, because I see my name in the Bible. But from a young lad who no one really even thought to bring before Samuel, even his dad Jesse. When Jesse was going to look for the new king, David was left outside on the hills looking after the sheep. And he went through all the big, strong brothers. And then they got to David. And David was anointed to become king. And then David and Goliath. Wow, what a story. How he would have been his late teens and he went to stand up against Goliath. All the men, all the trained soldiers were too scared to stand up against Goliath. But why did he stand up against Goliath? Because he had his faith in God. Wow. And he defeated him. He walked in faith. And I read that story and people had that story somewhere. Wow. Look what can happen when you walk in faith. I love the story of David. I love the story of Joseph. There's another one who had brothers. They all had brothers. Another one who had brothers. And his brothers didn't like him very much. They sold him as a slave. But the way Joseph went through his life and just went through being sold by his brothers, having his nice coat took off him, being sold by his brothers, then he gets into Potiphar's household, he gets bought as a slave into Potiphar's household, he becomes in charge of everything in Potiphar's household, but then a lie is told about him and he ends up in prison. But he never stops listening to God and following God, even in prison. Then he becomes the prime minister of Egypt. From prison to prime minister in a day. If you don't want to know how that happens and you don't know, read the story. That's a little testifier. And he becomes a prime minister. And then his brothers return. His brothers come to get food off him. And he says this to his brother. His brothers, I have become a father to Pharaoh. From being in a prison, from being a slave, to being the one Pharaoh went to for advice. When I read the word, God takes on a journey. In Proverbs 3, 5 and 6, it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own. In all your ways, acknowledge him. And he, what will he do? He will direct your path. How do we get there? How does Mount Chapel get to the future? It's a little hint. Isn't it? It's true though, isn't it? How do we get there? We've got to trust. That's what the word says. I've got to trust in the Lord with all my heart. I'm not going to lean on my own understanding, my own ideas. If we just did this, No. I've tried leaning on my own ideas. It was a bad choice. You know, I've got to trust him. Because when I put my hand in his hand, or collectively as Mount Chapel we put our hand in his hand, guess what? He leads us. Those paths that we can't see which one to take, he directs us. He makes our paths straight. There's nothing worse than going down around the windy path is than getting nowhere. Making a path straight so you get somewhere, so it gets there. gets to where you need to get to. Just a couple of quick questions. Who's got a favourite Bible character? Steve's got a microphone. At this point, we're all going to join in. Even if you're quiet, you can still join in. Think about who's your favourite Bible character. And in one sentence, and notice it has one sentence. In one sentence, why? Have a think. Be brave. I've got all day. Who's got a favourite Bible character? Something out of the Bible they've learned something from.
One of my favourites is Ruth, which is helpful. And I think it's because she was courageous.
That's great. Thank you, Ruth, for telling us about Ruth. Anyone else? Favourite Bible character? Right, the next one, if we're not going to go for a Bible character, who's got a favourite Bible verse? Who's got a verse that's meant something to them?
Wow,
I'm glad I'm preaching on this subject today. There you got one. We got one. We're going to go now.
Isaiah 43, verse 1. Well, through to 5, really. 1 to 5. Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine.
That's great. Thanks, Joe. I think there was one at the back.
Mine is more like a psalm.
Yeah.
So mine is Psalm 1. And when I was little, we come home from church, they would sit us down, our parents, to learn a psalm. And then you memorize it before you can have dinner. So that always stuck with me. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, meditates on it day and night.
That's great. Thank you very much, Steve. One right at the very back behind you, Steve.
Mine is also a psalm. It's Psalm 121. I will lift up my eyes up to the hills. From whence comes my help? My help comes from the Lord who made the heaven and earth. Always been something I lean on, and I can always trust God to help me through everything.
Thank you, Vanessa.
That's a very popular psalm in this part of the room. That's my dad's favourite psalm as well.
That's good. You see there the different Bible characters. Even if you didn't say one, I could tell on your face people were thinking about different Bible characters. You were thinking about stories you've heard. You were thinking about Bible verses. Think about how many times the Word has spoken to you. Whether it's been somebody sharing a sermon, or in your quiet time in the morning, or another time you've been reading the Bible, when a Word has just spoken directly to you. You see, being Bible focused is really important. Just a couple of stories there. I remember Joyce Costello's favourite famous phrase, one of Joyce's famous phrases, if I can get this wrong, right, Steve will correct me if I get it wrong because I was never in Mountains, but in Mountains you used to tell them, you don't go to the baths, you don't go to the swimming baths without your trunks, don't come to church without your Bible. That's one to remember. But I remember a different sermon series going back to a few years ago in Mount Chapel, and John Ogden led a series on Song of Solomon, or Song of Songs. And one of the verses in the Song of Songs really struck me. It's taken from a book Mike Bickle had written about a series he'd done. And Song of Songs, chapter 4, verse 9 says this: "You have stolen," this is the allegory of Christ and the church. "You've stolen my heart, my sister, my bride. You have stolen my heart with one glance of your eyes, with one jewel of your necklace." Wow. When the church looks at Christ, it steals his heart. That struck me. How much God loves us, how much God's for us. And over the years in Mount Chapel again, all the different sermon series we've had and all the different teaching you've had and Bible focus. But today I just want to read from 2 Timothy. So it's 2 Timothy chapter 3, starting at verse 10, And Paul's going to help us by Paul, the Apostle Paul here writing to Timothy, is going to help us think more about the Scripture and think more about the importance of the Bible to us. So 2 Timothy 3, starting at verse 10, reading through to the end of that chapter, which is verse 17. It reads like this: "You, however, know all about my teaching." This is Paul writing to Timothy. "You, however, know all about my teaching, my way of life, my purpose, faith, patience, love, endurance, persecutions, suffering, what kind of things happened to me in Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra, the persecutions I endured, yet the Lord rescued me from them all. In fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted, while evildoers and impostors will go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you have learnt it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for the teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servants of God may be fully equipped for every good work." Thank God for that reading from his word. Just start off there. Paul's writing to Timothy. Timothy's a younger guy, and Paul's the older man passing on some wisdom to Timothy. And he says this at the very start of that passage: "You, however, know all about my..." Then Paul goes into a list. "You, however, know all about..." Timothy and Paul knew each other really well. And Paul had a great respect for Timothy, and Timothy looked up to Paul. And he's saying here, Paul says to him, "You know all about my..." And he goes and says this: "My teaching. You know about my teaching. You know the quality of my teaching. You know all about the way of my life." In other words, you've seen how I live my life. You've seen what I say in my teaching, but you've seen how I live my life. My purpose, my faith, my practice, my love, my endurance, and my persecution and sufferings. Paul starts to open up about the way of life he's led. By the way he's led his life, by the quality he's shown in his life, by the way Christ has transformed his life. That's really what he's opening up here. Look at me. Look at me. Then he's going to go on to explain about teaching and about the Scripture. But he's asking Timothy to take a real look at who is before him, who is teaching, and who is teaching him, and look at the quality of the person who's teaching him. And he goes on to talk about persecution. Then in verse 14 it says this. It says, "But as for you, continue in what you have learned." So in other words, what I've taught you, what I've learned, continue in it. Continue to meditate, to think on, to grow in the things you've learned. Verse 14. "But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of." You can learn something and not believe it. You can teach me something and give me a piece of information and I have no belief in it. But what Paul's saying here to him, look at what you've learned and now are convinced of. Look at what you've grown into. Look at what you've applied into your life. Look at what you've learned from all the different sermons, letters, all the things I've done, and what you're convinced of now. Because you know those who you have learnt it. In other words, you've known them who you've learnt it from. Now let's have a think. Who had Timothy learned from? He'd learned from Paul. Paul had taught him. Paul had explained lots of things to him and written to him, and this is his second letter to him. But if you go back into 2 Timothy 1:5, Paul says this: I am reminded of your sincere faith. This is to Timothy, which was first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you. So Paul is actually recognizing that in Timothy's family and in his home church, he's learnt there from the scriptures. And that faith in the scriptures, that way of the scriptures, has been taught by his mother and his grandmother, and Paul knew them both. So it's quite interesting to stop for a second at that point, because we're reflecting on the scripture. We'll come into a bit more about the scripture in a second. But it's worth stopping at that point. He's reflecting that he learnt from a grandmother, a mother, and now the third generation in the faith in Jesus Christ was prospering and was growing in his faith and becoming somebody who was sharing his faith and becoming known as a great leader in the church. It made me think about the five things that came out of your looking back at the history. One of them was family. How important being a family is. How important is a church, that your family, that each generation empowers, teaches, encourages and blesses the next generation. Timothy is third generation. This is quite early to be third generation in the Christian faith. There's not that many years gone by, but it's third generation. And his grandmother and his mother had taught him. I don't know about you, your family. I'm very fortunate on one part of my family line, because your family lines go back and there's more and more people as you go back. But I've got a letter in my house that was written by my great-grandmother to her children. My great-grandmother lived in Burton-on-Trent, which is the East Midlands. And she had, wait for this, she had 14 children. She had 14 of them. And she wrote a letter to them for when they took her to a grave that they were to open. And it was written on a piece of... You have to be of a certain age to remember this. Remember the greaseproof paper the butchers used to wrap the meat in years ago? It was written on some greaseproof paper with the butcher's pencil, because they were a fatter lead. And it was written, and it just said... He told them, when they come back from burying her in the grave, remember, it's very simple, lady, remember to keep your faith in Jesus and look after one another and bless one another. That was her letter. And my gran went on to do that with her family and my dad, and then you got me and then our Lizzie. And you look at that, how important generation of family is. How important as a local church to make sure that the generations keep on passing down to the generations and keep on blessing them and keep on helping them. Here, Paul is saying to him in verse 14, he's saying to him, because you know those who learnt it to you, basically taught you. He did. His grandmother, his mother, and Paul. They were the people who had done that. And then it goes on to say, and how from infancy, you have known the Holy Scriptures. Just stop there for a second. From where? Infancy. You're never too young to start being influenced by the Word of God. We've got to find ways of doing it when children are very young. I've been very privileged the last few years to be pulling a team nationally together, looking at toddler groups and who let the dads out groups and other things like that nationally. And you're never too young. It's amazing what young children learn, how they learn. You see, we're learning in different ways. But from infancy, to actually start to know the Holy Scriptures, start to know the ways of God, start to know the Word of God, start to know what God said. How important is that? That's really important. And that we do that and we make that available. And it goes on to say, which are able to make you, so the Holy Scripture to do this, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. They're able to make you wise. Scripture makes you wise. What for? For salvation. Now think about this for a second. We sometimes think of salvation as just that prayer, and not, when I say just that prayer is massively important. When we pray and then we say from what we had before. But when we salvation, we've got to think of what we're saved into as well. I'm saved from this, the punishment of my sin, but I'm saved into what? The family of God. And all God's got for me. And what life is like, in the Bible it tells us we're joint heirs with... I'll do that again. A few people said it. We're joint heirs with Christ Jesus. Can you imagine that? When Father looks at you, by Father I mean Father God, when He looks at you, He sees somebody who's a joint heir with Christ Jesus. In our human sense, we feel unworthy of it. But that's the gift of God to you. That you walk as a son or daughter of the King. That's who you are. Where do we learn that from? The Scriptures. See, the Scripture doesn't tell me just what I was. The Scripture starts to explain where I'm going and what I'm becoming. Ends Proverbs 3, 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him. By acknowledging Him, you get into His understanding, and He will direct my paths. Wow. You know, sometimes I read the Word, I think, I've only just scratched the surface. And I mean that respectfully. There's so much more to learn about who I am in Christ Jesus. There's so much more to experience of Him. There's so much more that He's given and put in for me to have. And then it goes on to say, the Holy Scriptures were able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is God breathed. In other words, He's spoken it out. It might have been written by the apostles or the Old Testament by Moses or others, but it's God breathed, the very breath of God. It's in the Scriptures. And what does breath bring? Life. It's the very life of God is there for us. Wow. I think what privilege. It's not just a book I can read every day. It's the breath of God. When I'm reading it, I'm having the breath of God coming to me. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, training in righteousness. So it's useful for these things. Let's just look at these things quickly here. It's useful for teaching. We all need to be taught. We all need to have impart knowledge to us. So it's used for teaching, it's used for rebuking. Sometimes we need disciplining. Has anyone ever needed disciplining? Has anyone ever been disciplined? I have the privilege in my back garden looking at my old school. And in those days you got disciplined. And I got that a few times. But we've been disciplined. You see, for rebuking, for correcting. See, correcting is a bit different to disciplining, rebuking. Correcting is, you're going on a path and you're just going a degree off and God just corrects your path. It's that slight correction. See, if I'm a degree off here, I'm going to be a long way off when I get to the new destination. It just gives you a little nudge and brings you onto the right path. It's there for that rebuking, correcting, training. I'm really pleased for all the guys and all the ladies who invested training in me over the years. I wouldn't be who I am now if it wasn't for them. For godly people who train you, who show you, who you can watch their life as well, and you just see, as Paul was saying at the very start, look at my life. You look at the life and go, I'm learning. They're training me just by living the life they're living. Because they've read the Word and they've been in the Word, and that's what the Word does. And training in what? In righteousness. The right way of doing things. God's righteousness. You know, when the Father looks at you, he sees the righteousness of Christ. That's amazing, isn't it? He doesn't see Dave King and all the bad stuff he's done because he's forgiven and forgotten. He sees the righteousness of Christ. Then he's saying, I'm not just going to, I want you to experience it. I'm giving you the scripture so that my very breath can come into you. So that you can learn these things. You can be taught, you can be rebuked, you can be corrected, you can be trained. So you can walk in righteousness and understand just a beautiful life, living a righteous life is. What a joy it brings to you, living a righteous life. And it goes on to say, so that the servants of God may be fully equipped for every good work. So you are the servant of God. If you believe in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Saviour, you are that servant of God. I keep on looking and reading what I'm reading here. So you are the servant of God, and you may be fully equipped. You do not lack anything you need for the good works he's put before you to do. Individually and collectively. You don't lack anything. If he's promised to... good job, your teeth are well secured. He may thoroughly equip you. You're fully equipped. You lack nothing. You lack nothing. I want to say that again because I think it's important, because sometimes we go, well, I'm not good at that. I can't. Now, if God's calling you to do this good work, you lack nothing. You have everything you need. I remember one time a couple of years ago now, I was asked to go and speak in Washington, D.C. And I had to speak in this, and it was an international gathering of people from 50 different countries, representatives of the church from 50 different countries, and they said, you're going to speak at this thing. I thought I lacked quite a lot when they asked me to do it. But you know, I had to dust myself off, and I had to say, hold on. I'm not what other people say I am. I'm what he says I am, and I lack nothing. If he's got that good work for me to do, I have to go down his path. Because he's made my path straight. I've got to be confident that I've got all I need. And I lack nothing. I just want to say this to you. You lack nothing. Mount Chapel lacks nothing. Collectively, he's getting you ready to do the good works he's got for you to do. Is equipping you. That's why the word is one of the five things you're looking at for your history, because you lack nothing. I just want to read one last verse to you here, and I'll flick through it very quickly. In Psalm 119, and it is a verse that God laid on my heart to give to you as a church, just to think on and keep hold of. Psalm 119, verse 105. And it's here. And it says this: your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Your word is a lamp to my feet. Mount Chapel, you are going to go forwards with God. You lack nothing. And his word is going to be a lamp to your feet, and it's going to be a light to the pathway forward. So you're going to be able to see your feet, and you're going to be able to see the path that he's going to lead you on. And he's going to teach you how to go by his word. That's why being focused on the word is important. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for the privilege of having your written word. We thank you for the privilege of over the years in each of our individual lives and collectively in Mount Chapel, for the many people who've spoken and preached from your word and taught and rebuked and encouraged, etc., from your word. And we just pray, Father, through your Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus, may you keep on revealing more of you from your word to us. May we keep on learning more. May we keep on growing more. May we keep on developing more in you. And may Mount Chapel keep on growing to be who you've called Mount Chapel to be and who you want Mount Chapel to be. In the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Dave. Isn't that wonderful? Really good. One of the few people who, when that man says, "I'm the son of a king," you just have to agree with him, don't you? He definitely is the son of a king. do stick around for tea and coffee. It'd be great to just reflect on that together, won't it? And talk about what God's been speaking to us this morning. Yeah, do stick around. Tea and coffee served through in the other room.